Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence. God, we ask that you open our hearts, open our minds to hear your word. I ask that you change and transform lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
So for those that don't know, prior to my time on team at Wave Church, I was in the Navy for a small stint. I was a surface warfare officer in the Navy. And we had these evolutions called sea and anchor detail. So this was when we were navigating into and out of port. And so everything, the intensity level, everything was ramped up a little higher because the margin for error was much less. It was a little more tense on the bridge. Every muscle was clenched a little tighter. It was a tense time because the hazards were more present, if you will. When you got closer to the shore, it became a little more dicey because we weren't necessarily designed to operate there. Big old ship, not a big channel to navigate through, can be a little bit of a challenge. You know, we had the pleasure of pulling into New York City. They do a big Fleet Week every year, which is a celebration of the military. We were able to do the first one after 9/11. And so the crowds, the distractions, looking at the revamped skyline of New York City, the distractions are enormous when you're closer to the shore. We pulled into Peru, and there are 2 or 3 feet below. Our ship is basically the ground. That's how much room we had. That's the wiggle room we had before somebody lost their job, because if you scrape the bottom of the ship, basically, bye-bye, you lose your job. And so the distractions at shoreline, closer to the edge, are far more numerous than when we're out to sea. And I think Jesus understood that, and in Luke chapter 5, this is him calling the disciples, and they're at the boats by the shore, and he said in verse 3, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, we'll do it. When they had done so, they had caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And dropping down into verse 10, he said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. You'll be a fisher of men. I was staying on watch one night, I think it was September 12th, 2000, somewhere in the middle of the night, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I forget the exact time. And we were doing some exercises in South America, which was supposed to be the fun deployment, not necessarily the long, arduous 8-month deployment to the Gulf or anything like that. This is the one where you go through the Panama Canal, you hit all the South American ports, you go through the Straits of Magellan, you hit Buenos Aires on the way back, you hit Rio on the way back. It's supposed to be a really good time. We're doing these exercises with another ship. And across the speaker, at somewhere in the middle of the night, kind of says, this is USS Lemoore County. We've run aground. Now, for those that don't know, that's bad. Ship, water, good. Ship, ground, bad. Now, not only did they run aground, they ran hard aground, which means there ain't any moving. The irony is this is the ship in the Navy that was designed to beach itself and pull itself off the beach. The problem was, they missed the beach in this particular exercise. And so here we were, now stuck 30-plus days at anchor in Cayeta Sinfuncho, Chile, which is really the capital city of the middle of nowhere. There is nothing. And that's why we picked this beach for the exercise. The problem is they got a little too close to the shore, and they didn't run just aground. They ran hard aground. Like, they went straight into the rocks. This is their view that they had. That's a bad day. People's jobs are gone. We were in the middle of nowhere and people were being flown out because their jobs were, done. They severed the keel of the ship. They hit it about 14 knots. They severed the keel, put a 20-by-40-foot hole in the hull of the ship. And if the Marines weren't out on deck being dropped off for an exercise, their berthing area, from what I understand, and the after-action reports was pretty much flooded, and there could have been a lot more tragedy beyond just the loss of a ship. We could have probably lost lives. But the problem was they got a little too close beyond the spectrum in which they were designed to operate. And I think sometimes in our lives we get a little too close to the shoreline of areas we're not supposed to operate. And that's where deception sets in. And I think sometimes we can be deceived. And in reading through the report of what happened here, deception kind of happened in three different arenas. Deception can kind of come from appearance. See, the navigators, you know, use GPS and they put it on the chart and they plot it down. They were supposed to go down the one track. You can see their actual track was a bit all over the place. Now, part of the problem was they had an outdated chart, so the input into the GPS wasn't wrong. And so they were plotting it, and so it looked right on the chart because the inputs were wrong and it didn't match up. And I think there are things and circumstances in our lives that look right on the chart. Or as the Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man that appears straight, but at the end of it is death. We can be deceived through appearance. There were so many communication breakdowns in this particular story between the bridge and Combat Information Center, which is an area below the bridge where they do navigation as well during these evolutions. And there were so many communication breakdowns. We can be deceived through statement. And when we walk through our lives and we walk through different circumstances, it sounds more like what happened in the Garden of Eden where the serpent looked at him and said, "Did God really say?" And things that try to pull you away from what God intended for you, from what God put in your heart, from what God designed and fashioned you to do, these statements come that tend to deceive. Or finally, deception comes through influence. The way this went down is the Combat Information Center was doing some secondary navigation. They don't use GPS primarily, they use radar. Land on radar looks like a big green blob. And they're saying to the bridge, "Hey, you're headed for the big green blob." And the bridge didn't listen. They didn't allow them to have the influence that they needed to have. And I wonder who in our lives is saying, "Hey, you're headed for the big green blob." But we didn't give them the influence that they deserved or needed to have. See, this illusion of control is something that we think we have in life when we really don't. But one of the few things that we can control is who we allow to influence our lives and who we allow to speak into our lives. And so when we navigate too close to the shore, when we get too close to the shoreline and too close to the edge is where deception comes in, where it's God hasn't designed us to operate, is because God has designed us to operate into the deep waters. That's why Jesus said, launch out into the deep. And I hope, and my prayer for 2020 is that we as a church and you in your life begin to launch out into deeper waters, that you don't stay next to the shallow dwellers, but you find the God space in life, because it's in the deep waters where normal calculations may not make sense, but it's where God's going to show up and meet you and form you and fashion you. Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls to deep. And it's in that space where God begins to speak to us. Because when we operate close to the shore, we kind of look like this photo. We kind of look like this baby next to him. That's kind of like surface Christianity. I mean, he's enjoying it. It's good. And when you're a baby, it's okay. But when you're a 41-year-old dude, this look ain't working. But sadly, this is too many people's experience with Christianity. Because they stay so close to the shore. They don't ever venture out into the deep waters of God. And they think, this is all the church has to offer. This is all God has to offer. He's afraid of my hard questions. He can't wrestle with the tough things that happen in society. And yet God is saying, no. I'm just not going to do it next to the shore. Come out to the deep waters and let's have a talk. Come out to the deep waters and we'll see what happens and we'll see what happens. You're yearning for authenticity, and the society is craving authenticity, cannot be satisfied in the shallow waters. Your yearning for authenticity cannot be satisfied in the shallow waters. It is only a call from the depths that will evoke a response from the depths. And my prayer is that you launch out deep this year, and your deep water may be different than somebody else's. Your deep water this year may be mending a fractured relationship. Your deep water this year may be saying, you know what? We need to go see somebody because our marriage, it's surviving, but it's not thriving. Your deep water may be joining a community group. Years ago, it was our deep water. It was my deep water. Lydia was like, oh, we should probably get involved and join a community group. And I was like, dude, do I look like someone that wants to sit in a circle and like hold hands and share my thoughts and feelings and emotions with strangers that I don't know? I don't even want to tell God my thoughts and feelings and emotions, much less Robert Cameron. And so, but it's because of that. I was like, Lydia, why do this? Do you see me during praise and worship? I look like a security guard. I don't look like the emotional guy that wants to dive deep into those things. She asked me once, she said, what do you think about during praise and worship? And I was like, Jesus and stuff? And if you're honest, that's the same about what you do too. Jesus and stuff. I was like, well, since you asked. I was like, so, and she leads worship sometimes for those that don't know. I'm like, you're up here singing. And then all of a sudden you just kind of turn around and you disappear back here. Where are you going, fam? I don't know what's going on. I was like, you asked. That's what I think about. I mean, just being real. Your deep water is different than other people's, and your deep water may be finding a community group, because in that community group's where I formed and fashioned my best friendships. That community group is the reason I'm on this stage today, because it planted me in a church that could walk me through tough situations, that could help me along in scenarios that I didn't understand, and that could lift my arms when I didn't have the strength to fight by myself. So find some deep water. A paradoxical reality of Christianity is that independence cannot be ascertained in the absence of community. Independence can't be obtained in the absence of community. We think we're independent, we think we're free, but you can't do that unless you're in community. And people turn to so many other things looking for that community, looking for that sense of belonging, looking for that sense of hope, and they will find it somewhere. My prayer is you find it here, that you find it in Christ. That you find it in Jesus, because it's the only one that can bring true independence, the only one that can bring true hope, the only one that can bring true healing into your situation and circumstance. So I want to give a few lessons from deep waters during my time in the military. You know, if I miss anything, I don't miss the deployments, to be honest. Thank you for those who are still serving and are still actively engaged in our armed forces. But there were moments cruising across the Atlantic that you'd be out on the bridge wing and just the pure stillness and silence that you'd experience, you really began to understand the vastness and the transcendence of God and what he had for you. And we fear stillness and silence in society today, but God is calling you out into deep waters to say, come away with me for a little bit and experience some solitude, experience some silence, experience some stillness, and let me speak to you. Understand the verse, Psalm 46:10, that says, be still and know that I am God. And let him speak to your heart in that situation, in that circumstance. And you begin to understand just on that bridge wing in Romans 1:20, where it talks about from the beginning of creation, God's invisible qualities were there, revealed to man so that he could be without excuse. And you just get to understand. And it's in those moments that he speaks to us. But we fear silence. And that's just 10 seconds, and it would already have unnerved some people. Some of you are thinking, oh, dear God, did he forget what he was going to say? Please help him. Help him, Jesus. Online, thought I glitched. They're refreshing their browser. Because we're so trained for noise that silence scares us. And so in those times, we can't hear from God. Moments are not meant to entrap you. They're just simply meant to remind you. God is not afraid of your failures. Your failures and your fears do not push him away from you. They draw him to you. Because that's when he says, okay, in my strength, your weakness can be made perfect. And Isaiah 32:17 says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. Its effect, quietness and confidence forever. How quiet is your soul? How quiet is your mind? If you go to silence, how loud are the voices in your head? We've all got them. It's okay. But I think 2020 is a year that you're going to fight a little differently. We've been trained to have a loud fight, but I think sometimes Exodus 14:14, God's saying this year, the Lord will fight your battle. You only need to be still. And in those moments, our intimacy with God determines the impact of our lives. Norman Cousins said, you know, people are never more insecure than when we become obsessed with their fears at the expense of their dreams. Your fears sit in the shallow space of God, and we can become obsessed with them and distracted with them. Your dreams sit in the deep space of God. And in that silence and in that stillness, he speaks to your heart, he speaks to your soul as only he can. And it brings the second lesson of a deep water, which is an enigma of modern culture, that joy can be found in silence. That you can find joy in the midst of everything that's going on, that somehow God can create a smile in you despite your circumstances. Throughout Scripture, there's references of joy. Romans 14:17 says the kingdom of God is a matter of joy. Galatians 5:22 talks about joy being a fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. Jesus in his prayer in John 15, John 16, and John 17, over and over again says, I'm telling you these things so that your joy may be full. Dr. Martin Luther King, who rightfully so should be honored this weekend for the legacy that he lives or left behind in the path that he forged, said, those who are not seeking happiness are the most likely to find it. Because those that are searching for it forget the surest way to be happy is to seek happiness for others. God is always into shifting perspective. He's always into shifting. And if you don't have those moments of silence, if you don't have those moments of solitude, you don't get that shift. You just get consumed with happiness, and you get consumed with everything that's going on and the exhausting thing, and it's all about, and you look on Facebook and Instagram, you're like, oh, look at that family. They're so perfect. Look at their kids. No, they want to cuss at their kids as much as you do. There's nothing, I mean, I love my kids and raising my kids. There's nothing that makes me laugh more and want to cuss more than raising them. Their ability to be so astonishingly brilliant and breathtakingly mindless in the same, like, 30 seconds is uncanny. But don't let what's going on around you consume what's going on within you. It's exhausting. It's exhausting looking at it and saying, oh my gosh, look, it took 25 pictures to get this perfect picture. It's exhausting. And I think at a systemic cause of why people leave Christianity, not the church, but Christianity, is they simply forgot the joy of their salvation. Because when that is first and foremost in your life and in your spirit and in your thought process of what he did for you and the sacrifice that he paid for you, there is a joy that is formed and forged. It's why David in Psalm 51:11-12 says, do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. It is only the joy of your salvation that will give you a willing spirit to sustain you through the tough times. But you can't experience joy if you haven't experienced silence. Because that's where he speaks to the tenderness of your heart. In Hosea 2:14, when he's talking about Israel and this tale, he says, you know, I'm going to lead them into the wilderness to speak to the tenderness of their heart. And we're yearning, and people are yearning and craving and desiring authenticity at levels that like we haven't seen in history. But I promise you that yearning has been there many ways from the start because he wired you that way, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to heal you, and he wants to bring you hope, and he wants to bring you an understanding, not just of the immanence of God, but the transcendence of God, of who he is and the expansiveness of his creation and the sacrifice he paid for you. Because when you have that silence and it forms that joy in it, you can learn the third lesson of deep waters, which is simply, you're going to go through storms. But when we went through storms, you'll see on the news, there's different sortie conditions. hurricane comes to Hampton Roads, the Navy doesn't stick around. We roll out. We're gone. Because we're not going to sit next to the pier and get pummeled over and over in an arena we weren't designed to operate. The ship was not built to stay by the pier. It was built to be in the deep waters. And it's in the deep waters, no matter the fact that 35-foot seas are coming. You were designed for this, and you were built for this. And friend, the circumstances and challenges and the things that you are facing today, you were built for. You were designed for. God did not make a mistake. He didn't do this by accident. But if you stay in the shallow waters, it's just going to pull you away, because those floaties, those arm floaties, that rubber ducky is not going to save you. But when you get into the deep space of God, you can walk through some tough things and wrestle with God and find out really what He's made of. And it may toss you to and fro, and you may get a little seasick, and it may bring you back and forth, but you were built for this. You were designed for this. The dimension of your need is always going to seem to outweigh the dimension of your faith. He describes need as a mountain, and he describes faith as a mustard seed. Your need's always going to look bigger than the faith that you have, but I promise you, that faith that you have is enough, because you were built for this. Because you were designed to go through the storms. You were designed, Isaiah 43:2 says, when you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're in over your head, I'll be there. And when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. He has formed you. He has fashioned you. He has designed you to walk through. He's not afraid of your tough questions. He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of your fears. He just wants to deal with it in the deep space. He just wants to speak to you and call you out into those deep waters. And understand, Martin Luther King also said it this way. He said, the ultimate measure of man is not where he stands in the times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in the times of challenge and controversy. And I want 2020 to be a year for you where you measure up. Where you measure up, it doesn't matter the comfort and convenience and the things that you may have faced, but all of a sudden, there's a challenge and a controversy that you know you were built for, that you know you were designed for, that it doesn't matter what is going on around you, because the reality is disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement's a choice. But when you understand you were built for this, and when you get away with God in those silent moments, and you hear the voice of God and that still small voice to who you are, you know you were built for this. And the final lesson in the deep waters, it's really your biggest catch or opportunity is in the deep. You're not catching those big fish right next to the shoreline. There's a reason, I mean, we've seen it, Sandbridge, whales that end up beached, because they weren't designed to operate that close to the shore. Don't end up beached in your Christianity because you stayed too close to the shore. Don't end up beached in your faith because you faced a tough path. Let God speak to who you are. Don't settle for a good enough faith. A good enough faith isn't going to help your friends. A good enough faith isn't going to answer their questions. A good enough faith isn't going to position Wave Church to be a light in the community. John Maxwell wrote in one of his books, if 99.9% is good enough, then 2 million documents will be lost by the IRS this year. I'm pretty sure they're not even batting that good of an average. But 22,000 checks will be deducted from the wrong bank account in the next 60 minutes. 1,300 telephone calls will be misplaced by phone carriers every minute. 12 babies will be given to the wrong parent each day. 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions will be written in the next 12 months, all if 99.9% is good enough. Don't settle for a good enough faith. God has so much more. So much more. But he leaves it to you. The reality is we can do anything we want. 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 24 in the Message says kind of basically anything goes. Because of God's immense generosity and grace. We don't have to run every decision by him to see if it passes muster. But the point is not to just get by. Our first and foremost efforts ought to be to see that others live well. Again, that perspective shift that you experience when you get out into the deep waters of God that says, you know what, it's not just solely about you. And God is speaking to you and saying, come out into the deep waters. In our 21 days of prayer, I'm trying to read through the Bible fully in a year. I know I'm on a paid church staff. I probably should do that every year, but it's been a hot minute. So I'm trying to do that a year. And maybe your deep space is coming to prayer in the morning or team night on Thursday. But this verse just jumped off the pages to me as I read it, Genesis 26, 16 through 22. And Isaac had been living in Philistine land. Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, kind of said, hey, come live here. You can farm it. You can do it. And then he comes to him because Isaac was very successful. And then Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are too powerful for us. And Isaac departed from there and said, okay, boomer, and camped in the valley of Gehar and settled there. Verse 18, then Isaac dug again the wells of water. And I think 2020 is a year you dig again the wells of water. I know for me, it's a year to dig again. So then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the same names for which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gehar quarreled with the herdsmen of Ai, saying, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek because they contended with him. And people are going to fight you. People are going to tell you you're not good enough. Do what Isaac did in verse 21. Then they dug another well. And they quarreled over it too, so he named it Sitnah in verse 22. He moved away from there and dug another well. I know for my family, as we walk through, we experience times and things that we're still digging on. When we faced a couple miscarriages, we had to dig another well. And God's calling you out to the deep space. And he's saying, keep digging. Keep digging till you find the water. Keep digging till you find the well. When we faced miscarriages, we kept digging. When our son, who wasn't even four at the time, got his finger sliced off and had to have surgery in an overseas hospital, we kept digging. And why that sounds somewhat simple, when your 3.5-year-old goes under anesthesia, it's a big deal. And we kept digging. Or when your brother is on his deathbed fighting alcoholism that he kept hidden. Body completely jaundiced. Liver failing. Kidneys beginning to fail. Keep digging. Keep digging the wells. Or when your mother was diagnosed with cancer and you don't understand it, they've loved God their whole life and served God their whole life. Keep digging. Because when you keep digging, and I don't know what your story is, and I don't know what well you need to dig, but you need to keep digging. And I don't know what it is, but now we sit with three kids because we kept digging. And our son, he doesn't have a little nub. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but because we kept digging. And my brother runs the tech arts department at a church and has no sign of kidney failure, has no sign of liver failure because he kept digging. And we didn't get the miracle we thought we would with my mom. And she passed away and it sucked. But we kept digging, and over the holidays, I had the privilege and opportunity to perform the wedding ceremony of my dad at the age of 80 to another wonderful woman of God and see a smile return to his face that hadn't been there in 5 years because he kept digging. And I don't know what you're facing, but don't let what's going on around you consume what's going on within you. Keep digging the well. Keep fighting for what you want, believing for God for. Keep fighting for your family. Keep fighting for your friends. Keep fighting for God to speak to you in a new way and show you new things, because there is deep water for you to experience. The shallow water, you're not going to hit it, but in the deep water of God, He'll form you in the silence. He'll bring joy to your life and allow you to walk through the storm so that your biggest opportunity that lays on the other side of it is at the end of that well that you're digging. When Noah looked around him, he saw mockers. When he looked within him, he saw a promise of God to save humanity. When Elijah on Mount Carmel looked around, he saw he was outnumbered 850-1. But when he looked within him, he saw that he was going to help bring a nation to repentance and save an entire nation. And Paul didn't tell Timothy to stir up what's going on around you. He said, stir up what's going on within you. And friend, we've got to be like the psalmist in Psalm 121 that says, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. And some of us could stop right there because we've been looking in the wrong places to begin with. But he goes on to say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He watches over me. He will not allow my foot to slip. He who watches over me does not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He who is protecting my life, he's the shade at my right hand. The sun will not smite me by day nor the moon by night. He is watching over my life from this time forth, protecting my coming and going. And some of us need to have an attitude in 2020 that from this time forth, I'm going to keep digging. From this time forth, I'm not going to sit at the shallow waters. I'm going to press out into the deep because God is speaking to me. He's calling me into deep waters. And we've got to be a people that responds with everything that we are. First Corinthians 15:58. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. Steal away with God. Find some silent moments. Let Him speak joy into your heart. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will quiet you with His love and rejoice over you with singing. Let Him sing over you in 2020. So when those storms come, you know you were built for this. You were designed for this. And that biggest opportunity still lays ahead of you, as long as you keep digging the wells. I want to pray for two groups of people. First, there are people here today. You've lost the joy of your salvation. You've walked away from God. Or you've never experienced God's saving grace in your life. And you're searching and you're yearning and you're calling out and you're searching in all the wrong places. And God is saying, come to deep waters. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you today, cross this auditorium. You're calling out and yearning out. The emptiness that you feel inside, the things you've sought after have never been fulfilling enough. Make a decision today for Jesus. Let me introduce you to my friend Jesus, who paid the ultimate price for you. Or you lost the joy of your salvation. You once knew and you once experienced and you once loved God with all your heart, but something caused you to walk away. He's calling you back, friend. With every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this altar, if that's you today, and you're saying, that's me, just begin to lift your hands high enough and long enough for me to see it so I can pray with you that Jesus would come into your life. Thank you. I see that hand all across this auditorium. God's calling you, friend. He's calling out to experience something deeper. Online, you can begin to make that decision online as well. He's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. The weariness that you feel. Thank you. I see that hand. Hands across all the auditorium. God, I just believe in something greater than yourself. Thank you. I see that hand, sir. All across this auditorium. The hollowness that only He can fill. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. There's hands from left to right, front to back. God's calling you. Don't miss out. He's stealing away a moment with you, and he's saying, I paid it all for you. One last chance across this room, if you're saying, that's me, pray for me. I need to come back to God. I need to find God in my life. Don't shut the hollowness of your heart out. Let him in. You feel that yearning, that cry for authenticity that only he can meet. Can we give a hand for the hands that were raised throughout this auditorium? We're going to pray a simple prayer, and we're going to pray along with you during that prayer. Repeat after me, Father. Thank you for what you did for me. For dying on the cross for me. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you rose from the dead. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, can we thank him one more time?
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.